Hello and happy holidays. This is Isakan with The Long View. More information about today's sustainability topic can be viewed at wuml-longview.org, including references. December is Consumer Intelligence Month. This week's segment features an interview with four Merrimack Valley High School students who make some very smart observations about holiday shopping, waste, and recycling. These young consumers give us a glimpse of what their demographic understands about the impacts of consumerism and the waste it produces. They offer a bit of sustainable substance for the holidays.
This morning, I have four students from Amesbury High School, and we're going to talk about gift giving and consumerism and trash and recycling and all kinds of interesting things. The students aren't using their own names today. We've picked out some holiday names, so I'm going to start and go around counterclockwise. Can you introduce yourself, please?
Yes. Hi, I'm Cindy Lou.
Hello.
I'm Dasher.
Charlie Brown.
I'm Chris Kringle.
Excellent. What kind of gifts do you normally buy for your friends and family? And maybe I should say, what do you buy for friends? What do you buy for family? And you can be kind of general.
I think that it is good to separate those because you do buy different things for friends and family. I tend to spend a lot more money on family than friends.
How much do you think you spend altogether?
Well, this year it's around $700 or $800 in total. In previous years it was more like $200 or $300. I have more of a disposable income right now than I did in previous years.
Uh-huh, you had a job.
Yeah, I got a job. I got a job this summer. I'm still working.
Charlie Brown?
I'd say this year it's about, altogether, it's about $400.
Mm-hmm.
And I, too, have a job.
And about what is the most you'll spend on one individual person? Say your parents.
Probably the most I'll spend on them is probably around like $100.
Okay. And how about you, Dasher?
My parents. I tend to do more crafty things for my parents, like find some way to give them a gift or spend time with them that's not going to cost me a lot of money because mm-hmm. I don't have a job. So
uh-huh. That's awesome.
Try to find craftier ways.
Cindy Lou.
I'd say about $200 to $300, somewhere in that range.
Mm-hmm. What's about the most you'll spend on any one person?
For one of my parents, I'd probably spend around $100 to $150. Mm-hmm. I thought they'd really like it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it definitely depends on who I'm buying for. There's some people that I may spend a little more on, a little less on, whether it's clothing or appliances. You know, it very much depends on the person.
Mm-hmm. Now, Dasher, you mentioned something about making gifts. What sort of things have you made in the past?
Mostly cards or picture frames, arts and craft kind of things.
That's cool.
That sort of thing.
Does anyone else here make gifts?
I make cookies.
Charlie Brown makes cookies. That's so cool. What kind of cookies?
Usually chocolate chip cookies. You can really make any kind of pastry for like holidays.
That's cool.
And you can get cookie cutters and stuff like that.
And you brought us some today?
Yeah.
Actually, Dasher, you brought up some other things that you can do for alternative gifts, like spending time with someone.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there are other things that we can do instead of spending a lot of money?
When I was younger, I used to write my own gift certificates because I didn't have a job or anything when I was younger. And I would write out little letters to my mom, like, I owe you a foot massage or that kind of thing.
Did you follow through?
Yeah, she made me. Like, I gave like little coupons. She'd pull them out and use them.
That's excellent.
Creative little thing that I did.
That's excellent. Anyone else?
I think when I was younger, when any of us were younger, I think it was more prevalent that we would actually go through the efforts of making the gifts. I mean, I know they encouraged that when we were in school. My little brother's in third grade now, and he does a lot more of that with the, you know, handmade gifts for parents and stuff like that while he's in school. So I think that that's encouraged a lot more now in the younger years. My mm-hmm. parents have always said, you know, a gift from the heart is worth more than anything that you can buy.
There you go. Well, do you think in general people's expectations are too high for Christmas? And you can all sort of chime in here.
The people I've talked to really haven't had high expectations. They've actually a lot of times have begged me not to spend a whole lot of money on them. A guilt factor or something, but I wouldn't say there's a lot of pressure, personally.
Mm-hmm.
I think as a teenager, you expect more from your parents. I mean, my parents keep saying as I get older, my you know, what I want gets more and more expensive.
In general, what do you think about the whole gift-giving thing at Christmas time? Is it cool the way it is?
I think I've never personally had a problem with it. There's not too much pressure. It's always been something that's been pretty laid back. Everybody's really understanding about whatever situation somebody might be in. So it's been perfectly cool.
Does anyone have a strong feeling about Christmas and shopping?
I think it's
hectic. Yeah,
having the whole thing.
I think it's horrible
crazy.
Sometimes.
Even opening presents, especially if you have larger families. And all my life, I've been getting together with lots of relatives, and it's always like my Nana throwing presents at us. This one's for you. And it's just hectic, crazy wrapping paper, lots of boxes.
Uh-huh.
It's always been nuts.
Right, right. Well, there are a lot of things to consider when we do the gift giving, and especially in light of gift buying, you know, brand new gifts off the shelf. Did you know that each person in Massachusetts creates about 3 pounds of trash a day? That's an amazing amount of trash over 365 days in the year. When you go to do gift shopping and you look at the boxes on the shelves, okay, do you think about all that packaging, the boxes, the plastic, the styrofoam? I'm going to ask you, Kris Kringle.
I think that when you see it all packaged up, it's harder to think about, you know, how much trash there actually is created. And it's more after everything's opened and everything's all on the floor and you have like a pile of about two feet deep of wrapping paper and boxes and plastic and all that different material, then that's when you realize, wow, there is a huge mess load of stuff that you've
That's what causes you to think about it, actually. Yeah, it looks like you're all agreeing with that. And I know just what you mean. And I just found out something recently that sometimes they don't recycle. Although they'll recycle the cardboard boxes and other paper things, they don't recycle wrapping paper. So I thought, gee, well, that's kind of a bummer, because I know that's a good deal of the pile under the tree. It's just the wrapping paper. Do you think that the Earth would be healthier if we consumed less? Would it make a big impact if we changed our shopping habits? I'll ask you, Dasher.
I think our shopping habits definitely contribute to the damage that's done to the environment, but I really think a large aspect of it is that we have not found a good way of depositing this trash, putting it in a way, being able to reuse it. And if we could just find a way to get rid of and dispose better so it wouldn't hurt the environment, then consuming large amounts of whatever wouldn't be as much of a problem as it is now.
Do you recycle at home?
No, I don't.
So not papers, not plastic, not glass or anything?
I think occasionally we'll recycle a lot of things, but it's not like a routine recycling,
mm-hmm.
as I've seen at some people's house.
Right. How about you, Cindy Lou?
Yes, we recycle at our house, usually paper, plastics, you know, whatever we can. We miss things sometimes. We're not overly conscientious about it, but we're pretty good about recycling.
And how about you, Charlie Brown?
Yes, we definitely recycle at my house everything. We recycle all the bottles, all the cardboard boxes that we use, and newspapers and magazines, everything.
Do you think that recycling is worth the effort?
I think most definitely that recycling is worth the effort. Not only are we reducing the amount of deforestation in areas because of the fact that we just reuse and recycle what's already been used and what's already been deforested, I don't even know that's a word, but
yes.
Instead of having to go through that, I mean, we're going through the process of, you know, just putting everything back into the system, back into the market, and I think that it does make an impact, however big it may be or small it may be, at least it makes an impact.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, some countries have been really serious about requiring that the products they sell in their stores have as little packaging as possible. You know, the governments actually make the manufacturers reduce packaging. If you were told that companies could reduce their packaging, all the boxes and plastic and styrofoam and everything, and still package it safely, would you want them to do it?
Sure.
I think a lot of people would, but then again, I think some people wouldn't. Because I think that's what some people think America is about, or like American products is about, like big packaging and things that are extravagant and stuff, and some people don't want to do away with that.
So you think from a marketing perspective, actually, that packaging is going to be less attractive if it weren't as big and body and maybe colorful and things like mm-hmm. that. It wouldn't look as good on the shelf.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting point, because that's actually an industrial fear. You know, manufacturers worry about things like that. But say, for instance, everybody had to do it, then the scale of everything would come down. What do you think, Cindy Lou, if you were told the companies could reduce their packaging and still keep the packaging safe, do you think it's a good idea? Is it a policy that should be implemented in the United States?
I don't see why not. I mean, so long as the product is sufficiently protected, especially if it's going through road travel, there's no reason why we couldn't cut down on the extravagance a little bit.
Mm-hmm. That's a really interesting observation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can tell you that, as I mentioned earlier, there are countries that have real stringent requirements for packaging. And if you think about how much waste we create, well, think about it on a factory basis. It's amazing. I've done a little bit of research, but I haven't done a whole lot of research. So this is what I'm going to ask you. I wondered if I could give you, like, little mini research projects. You don't have to write a report or anything. Just take some notes and record some websites. I need one person to look to see what countries require that companies have to reduce packaging. So that's one. Could I ask you to do that?
Yeah, sure.
That'd be awesome. I'll give you a warm lead on this. I know that Germany and Sweden are really good, but I don't know details, though. Another research project is to find out what happens to the things that we recycle locally. So Merrimack is not recycling, but Amesbury recycles, right?
Yes.
I need one person who'd be interested in finding out what happens to that glass, paper, plastic. Where does it go? How is it used afterwards? Can I have a taker on that?
I'll do it.
Okay, Charlie Brown will do that. Excellent. Would you mind doing it for Salisbury? Looking to find out what happens to all that stuff they bring to this drop-off center?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Okay, that'd be awesome. And finally, I need someone to look into alternative gift ideas, which is kind of perfect, because Dasher, you're the one that had expressed the most interest in, at least in the past, you've done these homemade gifts. So could you look into alternative gift ideas?
Sure.
That would be awesome. Then what we'll do is we'll have you back in the Longview next month. We'll talk about what you discovered, and we'll also talk about how you might apply your new knowledge to your own lifestyles, your own habits, okay? Thanks a lot. I look forward to talking to you in the future.
Interviewing the students from Amesbury High School was a treat, and we look forward to hearing back from them once they've done their research projects. Our focus on holiday shopping this month naturally points us to advertising and marketing media. We can't discuss the gluttony of the holidays without including the media's role in our shopping habits. Even the sharpest of our teens are normally ill-equipped to interpret media's clamor for their attention. And there's reason to question some of this industry's ethics. The flood of advertising messages in which we all swim daily can't be accurately compared with the advertising of yesterday. These aren't the misleading tactics of a snake oil salesman off the back of a covered wagon, nor the sentiment-selling strategies of big manufacturers. "I'd like to teach the world to sing" was a very nice sentiment in its time, but my mom still didn't buy the soft drink. Psychologist Susan Lin of the Harvard Medical School explains, "Comparing the marketing of today with the marketing of yesteryear is like comparing a BB gun to a smart bomb. It's enhanced by technology, honed by child psychologists, and brought to us by billions of dollars. In the new millennium, marketing executives are insinuating their brands into the fabric of children's lives. They want so-called cradle-to-grave brand loyalty, and to own children," unquote. Evidently, the ad industry's tactics have been notably successful with teenagers, with this group having spent $172 billion in 2001, which is an average of $104 per teen each week. This dollar amount represents an 11% increase over the previous year, as reported by Teen Research Unlimited in 2002. Why is ad media so successful? First of all, they research the social and psychological intricacies of teen behavior in order to manipulate teens into the desired behavior. In this case, it's buying stuff. For example, they need to know how teens use the internet, what they like and don't like about school, and what they like and don't like about their parents, etc. The questions themselves may elicit some concern, but the research strategies are more likely to cause savvy consumers to take a closer look at the ad and marketing industry. For some insight, an October 12, 2005 article in Business Week Online shares advertising and marketing strategies used on preteens or tweens. Quote, "In-school media boards for advertising, television, viral or buzz marketing, book covers for textbooks with ads on them, traditional mall intercepts, and day-in-the-life videos and journals are just a sample of tactics used to get a better understanding of the lifestyle of a tween. Then there are the infamous slumber parties pioneered by market research firm Girls Intelligence Agency as an intimate, if not covert, form of a focus group in tween girls' own environment, their bedrooms. GIA also features a Best Friends Forever BFF network where girls are given products to discuss among their friends, reporting back resulting comments to a GIA agent. Now my words. These are kids being used. What's wrong with this picture? To wrap it up today, let's revisit the topic that headed the segment earlier. Given that ad and marketing media perform sometimes very invasive, covert research, and then constructs ad campaigns designed to manipulate consumers unaware, the first step to manage these tactics is to learn just how the industry works. This type of education is a facet of critical media literacy, or CML. The Long View will venture to look more deeply into the meaning and impacts of CML in future segments, especially as it relates to consumerism. Well, sorry about the heavy subject matter just before Christmas. We hope the information is useful to you anyway. On my part, I have Christmas presents to wrap like most everyone else. I bought a few gifts. I made a few gifts. I removed some packaging and put it in a bag labeled "To Return to Walmart." Many folks are trying to incorporate this idea of sustainability into their lifestyles, but frankly, I find myself compromising a little more than I'd like to. How about you? Visit wuml-longview.org and let me know. My email address is on the homepage. Also, on the left-hand column of the homepage, there's an array of 10 sustainability topics. What would you like to see covered in the new year? Next week, we'll repeat the interview with green chemist John Warner while I take the week to prepare for 2006. Until next year, this is Issa Kahn with The Long View, thanking you for listening and wishing you a Merry Christmas and a peaceful New Year.